This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island. From the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you.
Good evening. This is Rock Cash, your host this week on The People Speak. The People Speak invites audience participation. You can listen in by phone calling 716-748-0144. You can also participate during the show with call-in questions for our guests, toll-free USA and Canada, 1-888-429-5471. This evening's topic is very disturbing to me, as it should be for all of you also. It doesn't only affect our guests, it affects us all, and it undermines the integrity of our First Amendment and also our Bill of Rights. When people have to fear speaking their minds in public or saying something seriously, there is seriously something wrong with the picture. Tonight's guest, Trevor Lavant. Trevor is a well-known jazz guitarist in the Austin, Texas area. He was a call guy when groups needed a guitarist to help with their venue, till he said a few words to a man by the name of Craig Berlin, the owner of Pro Tape Staff. Shortly thereafter, an assault on Trevor's character was put into play, Craig posting on his Facebook, tagging everyone in the Austin area that was in the music business, calling Trevor an anti-Semite and a Holocaust denier. This well-scenarioed ploy is used to cover up, things of truth in my perception of it. As we well know, actors amongst politicians and anyone that dares to speak in public is also criticized. Trevor, welcome to The People Speak. You have been character assassinated. Please fill us in on what went down.
Okay. Well, thanks, Rock. It's great to be on the show. And, it's all too typical. These people, I guess I should start by talking a little bit about how I woke up real briefly. I lived in a house that was owned by these Zionist Jews, and they would talk about, how Arabs had never contributed anything of value to the world and that they just needed to be exterminated off of the planet completely. And, just a typical musician at the time, but I found this really disturbing. And I started to research and find out that that it's actually a very common attitude for these people. And I started to post what I was finding on Facebook and trying to alert the music community in Austin that, just by posting things, a lot of times I don't even use my own words at all. I can just post pictures of, say, some Palestinian children with bullet holes in their heads and chests, and, just to get people asking questions like, who's shooting these children? And just like really basic things like that. And what I found is that I was ignored by the community. And then when I started to research into 9/11 and the Kennedy assassination, I just came to the conclusion that it's a complete insult to anybody's intelligence to think that anybody other than the cabal that controls the banks and the media and all that, that was creating this massive overarching cover up over these things. Don't you think the magic bullet theory and the Muslims with the box cutters that got their own NORAD stand down and took out building number 7 without even hitting it, like if you don't believe in these physically impossible stories, then it would only be logical that the people that are orchestrating this massive cover-up, which spans the whole mainstream media, which is 96% owned by six Jewish companies, that's... You have to be a fool to not realize that. And, in the case of the Kennedy assassination, there's a photograph of David Ferry standing on the grassy knoll, pointing a rifle at John F. Kennedy's head, and phone records indicating that he was telephoned by Jack Ruby, on the morning of the assassination, and just the fact that Jack Ruby was there and was doing the things that he was doing. I mean, he obviously worked for Meyer Lansky's Murder Incorporated, Jewish crime syndicate, and so the connections are right there in your face. Yet there's been hundreds of books and thousands of articles, and they're just kind of using this certain kind of language that just never really names who did it well. And similar situation with 9/11. And so I just started to post these kind of things, and I found myself the victim of a hate campaign against me, where, like you said, this guy Craig Berlin rounded up all the people that he could, and he would create Facebook posts and tag like 50 or 60 prominent people in the town, and he would even pay money, because it would say that the post was sponsored, so he was really trying to engage people to deny me not only my First Amendment rights, but also my right to work not only with current but future employers too. So, like, as soon as you find out this basic information that I hope the listeners know, then if you try to talk about it, you're targeted, and especially if you're in any kind of like public figure at all. Like in my case, I'm in the entertainment business, I guess, and the entertainment industry is totally cleansed of anybody that names the Jewish cabal that the one that's responsible for creating both World War One and World War Two, and now we've got World War Three. They're trying to bring it to our doorstep. I've been watching them under a microscope now for like 3 years, and almost every day there's AIPAC, the Jewish lobby, does something to try to railroad the country into this war. And it's just all, the story is all too typical. And if the listeners just Google, like, for example, celebrities for 9/11 truth, they'll find that there's almost no celebrities talking about it. So it's only logical that the people that control the entertainment industry are the ones that did 9/11, killed the Kennedys, and committed other crimes.
Well, what a lot of people don't know is that Jack Ruby, you mentioned him. All I ask people to do is go look at his full name, what his real name is, and that is Jack Leon Rubenstein. They don't realize that a lot of the Jewish Zionists have been involved in the mafias and a lot of different illegal activities here in the United States, and they're doing it in so many different ways. But the thing is, once again, this is a threat directly to the First Amendment. And in my theory, or in my own personal opinion, anybody that has something to hide would only do things of that nature. If everything was truth, then why do people need to be attacked?
Yeah, so it turns out they're only attacked for this one thing, really, too, because the free speech seems to cover everything else except exposure of the criminals that run the international banking cartel and the organ trafficking, human trafficking, drug trafficking trade. The hub is in Israel and Tel Aviv, and I just think it's like a complete insult to everyone's intelligence that we're not allowed to discuss the nature of Jewish power and influence, and especially being that it's the dominant force, the fulcrum around which all these geopolitical events unfold. And you can, a lot of the important thing is to get credible things. Maybe I'll talk about that in a little bit, like some credible sources that you can use and what needs to be done to keep turning the tide in our favor, because I believe that the tide has already turned, and now is the time for people to just hammer down.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got a person online from Louisiana, Mitchell from Louisiana. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How are you?
Good, good. Thank you for calling.
I just had a question for you, the host. How can, do you not realize that people at the top of the all the major media networks and the people at the top of Hollywood who are dictating what goes on our television and dictating what we read and hear about in the news are all Jewish? Do you realize that?
Yes, absolutely. And that's why we're here on the mainstream media, buddy.
Yeah, I realize it too.
Well, I know, but
absolutely.
You're arguing with Trevor about it, not arguing with him, but you're trying to go against Trevor. And I was just, I don't want to sound like a Nazi here, but it seems to me that in this society, realists are always written off as if they were Nazis. You know, you can't speak truths in this society without everybody being like, "Oh, you're a Nazi. You're a Nazi."
They called me that right away, and I'll tell you what really makes them call you a Nazi is when you realize that. You know, most people realize that the media, the Jewish-controlled media now, is just basically a PR organization for international Jewry. But what they don't realize is that if you follow the thread backwards in time, you'll find that it's always been lies, and you can trace them back as far as you want. You can trace it back 2,500 years or further if you want. But when I started to study... make my own study into the Second World War, which is tied in closely with the First World War. And then I started to disbelieve a lot of the cartoonish, physically impossible things that are said to have been done by the Germans in World War II in the Nuremberg trials and the following international military tribunal. If anybody just wants to read the transcript of those trials, and you'll see that it's quite obvious that the Germans were being framed with a lot of with just about everything in it. It took the Allies 2 years to rig up this trial. So to me, at the very heart, and this is just my opinion now, but at the heart of the truth movement, like the thing that's the most misunderstood and lied about is what happened in Germany in the 1930s and who Adolf Hitler was and what he was doing. But I consider myself a fully deprogrammed individual in that I have totally deprogrammed myself of the evil German story. I know that the Germans didn't want a war, that Hitler campaigned tirelessly for peace and created numerous peace offers, rational, reasonable peace offers, very similar to like what Vladimir Putin is doing today, where he's making sure that he goes by the book and follows the international law, but he wants what's his, and he wants to but when I started posting things about how I couldn't believe how we were all lied to about Hitler, that's really when the stuff hit the fan in my life. They could tolerate all the stuff, they could ignore the stuff about Zionism, about the brutalization of the Palestinians, about the theft of their land, about the complete illegitimacy of the state, of that state, how it was created by a illegal secret meeting with the British government, with European Zionists in the First World War, and they made this secret deal with them that they would bring the United States into the war by mobilizing their assets in the media in the United States, and that essentially, international Jewry, the banksters, are the ones that are responsible for the First and Second World War. And, you know, taking this view where I take into account the outermost sphere of control, which is Jewish international high finance.
Have you tried pursuing any legal actions against this, Craig? Berlin.
I haven't. At this point, I just take pity on him because of what happened. When I invited Gilad Atzmon to come to Austin and play jazz with me, and Gilad had this idea. First of all, I didn't even think it was really that big of a deal that there was someone that was. I just figured that's like typical. There's going to be some fanatical Zionists that get together a few of their friends and they say mean things about you, and I didn't see it as that big of a deal, but Gilad was really interested in it. When I was telling him about it, he was like face smacking himself and saying, "Like this is terrible. They're terrorizing your entire community." And at that moment, it kind of transformed me because I realized I saw the effect that instead of concentrating on the effect that it was having on me, I saw the effect that it was having on everyone else and on the community, and that these people, these fanatical, and liars is what they are too, by the way. They have to, they can't ever address the topics that I bring up. All they can do is actually lie about me, you know, and they call you an anti-Semite, which means, which implies to a lot of people that don't know what's going on that, that you are just against the Jewish race of people and that you want them like wiped off the earth or something. And, you know, nothing could be further from the truth. And, so they operate by lying about us and just, saying, you know, applying these terms to us, just, you know, so it's important for people to realize when you're called an anti-Semite, when you're called a Holocaust denier, that it's, that's a vicious attack that's being made against you. But, so anyway, Gilad had this idea that he just wanted to interview me, a written interview, and he gave a little talk about me at Brave New Books here in Austin, and I have to give a little shout-out to Harlan, the owner of Brave New Books, who didn't capitulate when Craig Berlin and people that he organized into a group to try to deny me my First Amendment rights to, you know, to address this, these people and to put on my presentation at Brave New Books. You know, he knows what's up, and this is very important. People need to know when these people call to harass you, to let them know right away that that you consider what they're doing a threat to you. If they're telling you, hey, don't have this event at your place, well, they're implying that there's going to be some kind of consequences, so it's inherently threatening. So you tell these people, you know, tell them to buzz off or hang up on them if you want. You don't have to take it, but I've watched people that are on the other end of the phone when these people call, and they immediately like curl up into a little ball and they capitulate. And it's like any time a Jew calls you and tells you what to do, you know people automatically assume that they have to do that. Well, that didn't happen. He gave a talk about me, he interviewed me, and then he published the interview. And if you just Google the war against Trevor Labonte, it'll bring up at least 16 or 17 different major truth sites. My favorite one is The Ugly Truth, Mark Glenn's website. I've never met him in person, but we like speak online a lot, and I consider him a good friend and a really great analyst. You know, the best, one of the best that I've found. But so it was on that. It was on What Really Happened, Veterans Today. It was on a Committee for Open Debate on the Holocaust, and just all of these. Paul Eisen reblogged it, and it was just published across the internet, and it had information. The article is still up, and it has information about you know, Craig Berlin's business. And what started happening to Craig is that he started to get bombarded by telephone calls from people demanding that he stop this hate campaign, and that and people reminding him that it's actually illegal to interfere with people's ability to make a living or to try to organize a group dedicated to limiting someone's First Amendment rights, and that, well, it constitutes tortious interference, and that they've overstepped the boundaries of the law, and that Craig Berlin knows that he could be facing a major lawsuit. But what I want to get together is, you know, and I don't have to be at the head of this, but I just want to put this idea in people's, in their minds, that what
right.
we need to expose these people properly is a big class action lawsuit.
They did the same thing during the war, World War One, where they pretty much had people marching out in front of stores that sold German goods so they would stop selling it. With that being said, I've got more callers on the line. Mitchell has another question for you, and then we'll go to Amel from Florida. Go ahead, Mitchell.
Hey, Trevor. Trevor, real quick, I just wanted to ask, a website for the Nuremberg trial transcripts, and if so, where is a chapter and a section where fluoride was brought up during the Nuremberg trials? Fluoridated water in the concentration camps.
I can't quote where exactly that is, but I know that what I can tell you is that I don't believe that the Germans or the Russians used fluoride in their camps. The first place to use it, I believe, was in some place in Michigan. But that those are, that they're just basically anything that's in the Nuremberg trials, you have a serious reason to highly doubt it, because, and the, the source of that fluoride quote, or the fluoride information, is like one guy's testimony, and we know that it was full of paid phony eyewitnesses, and I would just
wild exaggeration
anything that they say. Yeah, they just made up a bunch of wild stories, but this is one of the big problems in the truth community, I think, is that people associate all of these conspiracies with Adolf Hitler that he's not guilty of, and that's just another one. The first people to fluoridate the population was in America, in Michigan. And also, I can point you to a website that I really like. It's Justice for Germans, like it's the number 4, Justice for Germans, and they have all the information that debunks basically every aspect of what I call the evil Adolf Hitler story. But no, I can't. I'm sorry, I can't like quote you, without like the exact spot in the Nuremberg trials. But just if anybody just begins reading these transcripts and things, and you just get the feeling that something's terribly wrong, and it was a show trial.
It's always the source of a hot debate. So I just wanted to try to find where I could read about that. Thank you.
Sure.
All right.
You're welcome.
Emil from Florida. Welcome. Emil, are you there? Okay, she left. She left. If you're out there, Emil, please call back. Trevor, we know that the anti-Semitic thing is way overplayed. They try to do that to me a lot because I am a Semite, and I just face it back at them and say, really? Show me your credentials of being a Semite, or show me your credentials of being from the Middle East.
Right, yeah, the Middle Easterners are the real Semites, and it's very interesting actually to discuss why the Jews use the term Semitic, or they refer to themselves as Judea, as in when Judea declared war on Germany, when Samuel Untermyer of the World Jewish Congress declared war on Germany on March 24th, 1933, the international Jewry referred to itself as Judea, which is modern-day Palestine. So for them to refer to themselves as Arabs and as Semites and as Judeans is an obvious attempt to try to usurp the identity of the Palestinians, the Middle Easterners, and to steal their country. They're trying to imply that they belong there when the modern studies, like the Johns Hopkins studies, prove that they have no Semitic blood, that they're, Turkic, Mongol, Khazar. They're like anything but Middle Eastern. And so they're basically like a bunch of white Europeans that initially changed their names to sound Polish or German. And then they changed them again to sound like they were these Hebrews. They're impersonating the Hebrews of the Old Testament when there's no connection whatsoever to these two totally different groups of people, the Jews. Most people know the people alive today calling themselves Jews are descendants of the Khazars that converted around 740 A.D., and they actually spoke Yiddish, which is based on European languages, and then they taught themselves Hebrew in the last 100 years or 50 years or so to really pull this prank over on the world to make them think that they belong, that that the Middle East belongs to them. And it's, I don't even find that interesting that they call themselves Judeans
Yeah, very much so, because as far as I know, the Palestinians are the original Judeans of the land. That actually most of the Middle East is the original Judeans of the land. They keep saying that, these are just Arabs that, came into the land. That's the biggest lie that anybody can.
Yeah, there could be almost no bigger lie than that one. That's a whopper right there, and, but the thing that I think needs to be talked about Israel, a lot of people, when they're first getting into the movement, they think that the problem is the way that the Israelis treat the Palestinians, that the problem is apartheid, and colonization, and something that Gilad Atzmon talks about a lot, about how these different Zionist groups like George Soros actually is behind the BDS, the boycott, divestment, sanctions. They've kind of tried to take it over, and they've gone right into the mission statement and changed it. So, you know, the reason that people are boycotting, divesting, and trying to sanction Israel is so they can just withdraw to back to the 1967 borders, which is, you know, a terrible solution. There, you can't have a explicitly Jewish state forced into a multi-ethnic area like the Middle East. That's blatant, flaming racism or bigotry or whatever you want to call it, like right in your face. But, you know, that's not, the problem is actually much worse than that. As bad as the Palestinians have it, the Israelis are planning to take over everything from the Nile to the Euphrates River, which is, you know, would give them an area four times the size of Texas. You know how they're always like, oh, the Jews, we only want this little sliver of land. It's just only the size of New Jersey, but the Arabs, the dirty Arabs, they won't let us have it. And every Middle Eastern country knows that the plan from the outset was to establish not Israel, but greater Israel, and to, as crazy as it sounds, to rule over the world in a one-world Jewish government. This is not a conspiracy theory. It's the Oded Yinon Zionist plan for the Middle East. If you don't, you know, if you're looking for something that's in their words that you can show people so they can't call you an anti-Semite, that's like a primary thing where they outline their plan to destabilize and destroy the Middle East and basically just burn it from end to end from sectarian violence, and then construct these Jewish-only colonies and then rule over the entire world. And you know, threatening the human race with their Samson option. So to me, these are the most important things, and no discussion about Israel or about geopolitics or really anything can take place without first laying out the facts about what is greater Israel and what is the Zionist plan for the Middle East as laid out by Israeli foreign policy advisor Oded Yinon.
Right. Well, I trace these people back to the Knights of Templar, and I believe that the Knights of Templar are also the Khazarians, the Freemasonry, and all of that all put together.
Yeah, it's all really one big thing. It all just falls under the...
Sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, the thing that I've found about all these groups, I mean, this is the tactic that's used to kind of stymie the truth movement, as in when... people will talk all about all these other groups, you know, the CFR, Trilateral Commission, the Freemasons, Illuminati, yes. Rosicrucians, Templars, all these things. And I found that they have one common theme running through them, and which is that they're all Jewish. So I try not to get it complicated, you know.
I'm sorry to cut you off. I've got Emil back on the line. She has a question for you before we go to break. Emil, go ahead.
Hi. Hey, Trevor. How's it going?
Emil.
Good. Well, me and Trevor talk on Facebook anyway. He probably recognized my name. He'll probably recognize my name. We've been chatting for a while now. What do you say? I mean, I already know your thoughts, and I know a lot about you and stuff. But what do you say to those people that sit in a chat room and call other people bigots? I mean, if somebody called you a bigot, what would you say? What do you think about that?
Well, okay, this is a great question. What they do is they're projecting. So what I tell people is that all I am is a universal human rights advocate who is fundamentally anti-exceptionalist. And so what I oppose I'm not opposing Jewishness per se. I'm opposing exceptionalism. And then within the topic of exceptionalism, Jews dominate that because, you know, like America is an exceptionalist country, has been for a long time, and Britain is too. But Jews have been an exceptionalist entity for like 2,500 years. They've had longer, who knows. They've had a long time to really get it down to a science. And what we have is this little population of the Jews that are basically controlling the whole planet. And they are the bigots. And what they're doing is projecting their own crimes onto you. Like if these people, so they call me a bigot, what I would do is just go into the Jewish holy books like the Talmud and Zohar and start producing photocopied pages of chapters with titles like the extermination, the necessity of extermination of Gentiles. So we're absolutely not bigots. The whole point is that we oppose not only bigotry, racism, but also corruption and violence of all forms, Jewish or otherwise. So when you, so it's interesting that Jews get so offended when you become a human rights advocate.
Absolutely. Awesome. You've done that the other day, actually, and you've quoted from the Talmud, and you were attacked on Facebook, as a matter of fact, the other day. I watched that whole battle the other day. And, you know, you get these people that behind the text, and they want to be this muscle man. I think they're like Hercules and something really big. And they can't even they can't find the guts to call you on the phone and, you know, and confront you with this and call you to your face. They're
never.
Even on a phone line.
I've never been confronted because they'll be immediately shut down and embarrassed, and not only, you know, by me, but by the entire truth community. If, you know, so they want to stay away from us. This is a problem for them when they try to interact with us, because they lose, and they lose badly. And and at this point, what we're starting to do, what I'm trying to start to happening with Gilad Atzmon is when we're harassed on a local level, which is where a lot of the harassment happens, that we can now bring it to this global truth network, which is now established worldwide, and we can expose these people, and suddenly the eyeball of all of the awake people in the world, I mean, will be on them. Every person that reads Veterans Today and, Committee for Open Debate on the Holocaust, which, by the way, is not necessarily a Holocaust denial group. It's just a group that is what it's called. They are a committee for an open debate. And so it's very embarrassing that the Jews have to oppose this group of people called that just want to have a discussion. You know, they're trying to shut down the whole discussion before it happens. So, but if every person that reads these kind of websites sees the names and numbers and faces of the local hate campaigners, the bigots, the people that are can't help but expose their intolerant nature. And by the way, you know, having like private conversations with Craig Berlin, and this is a person I've never spoken to by voice, he'll say things to me like, the Jews always win, you know, and we always kick your asses. I don't know if I can swear. We always kick your butts. What he's doing is he's admitting those are the things that I'm saying, is that that there is a predatory mindset among supremacist Jewry, and so he's actually confirming all of the things. I couldn't expose it better than to have like him go out and do that. But yeah, I mean, I'm not in any sense of the word a bigot, and so when they say that, I just point out all the things about them that are bigoted. Like, you don't think it's bigoted to try to plop down a Jewish-only homeland in the center of the Middle East on someone else's land? You're going to call me a bigot, you know? But I hope that answers your question, though.
It does. Right. And it's been an honor knowing you, actually. And I just called because, you know, some of the people don't have the balls to do it. But anyway, and then to call you your face a bigot. Anyway, I salute you, Trevor, and we'll chat later.
Thank you. Nice talking to you, Amal. I'll see you on Facebook.
Thank you, Amal. Yeah. And you. On the phone from Boston, Janet is on line 3. Janet.
Hi, Trevor. It's me, Janet. I'm one of the persons in the chat room that is calling you a bigot. Don't you feel that you're adding fuel to the fire when you call Jewish people these people? And by the way, I'm not Jewish, but you refer to them as these people. And some of the statements you're making.
At what? I'm sorry. What kind of people? I couldn't hear you.
You said these people. You said these people.
Oh, yeah, these people.
When you were talking
people.
About the Jews. And first of all, let me just say this to you, Trevor, as well. Nobody owns land, Trevor. Our land belongs to God, okay?
Yeah, I agree with that. Yes, ma'am.
Well, you agree with that, right? So why are you taking this position? Let me just ask you this, Trevor. Have you met with any Jews to come from a...
Yeah, I have. I have an extensive... I've extensive interaction with Jews, and that was really instrumental to my waking up, because I probably would have never believed that people could be so hateful and so openly racist against Arabs and want to exterminate them off of the planet. And that's initially what woke me up, is because of my being in the entertainment industry, which Jews control. I have had a lot of interactions with Jews in the past 13 years. And I want to clarify something. I've never said it's every single Jew that's the problem. What a lot of times people like me that are in the truth community, when we say the Jews or these people, what we're really referring to is the Rothschild banking cabal and all that's in its vast sphere of influence.
I don't even call them Jews. I call them Khazarians. I call a monkey a monkey, and I call a Khazarian a Khazarian. They are not the Judeans of the land. They never have been.
You call them a monkey? A monkey? Are you serious?
No, I said I call a monkey a monkey, and I call a Khazarian lady.
Don't you think you're adding fuel to the fire of hate? This is what I'm talking about. Listen to what you're speaking.
I think you misheard him.
So you're adding fuel
to the fire. Like, overreacting.
You refer to people as monkeys.
I did not call them monkeys. I said I call a monkey a monkey, and I call a Khazarian a Khazarian. So don't take it out of text. You're not playing with people that don't understand your rhetoric.
Monkeys are monkeys, and Khazarians are Khazarians. And Rock, you're absolutely correct. I didn't know this for very long, but I was able to figure out that the word Jew itself has only been around since the 18th century or so, and that it came from the first syllable of Judeans. And this is a really important point, because if the word Jew didn't exist, let's say in biblical times, and you read the New Testament, and it's full of all these references to Jews, well, that wasn't a word back then. So you have to go back through it and read the whole thing. I recommend, and I'm not necessarily even a Christian, but I love the story of Jesus there's so much to be learned from it, and especially if you know one thing about Jesus, it should be that he opposed the evil of the Jewish Sanhedrins, the Sanhedrin that put him on trial and executed him and nailed him to a cross, and really start to appreciate who this person was. I think that he was like what we are. He was just opposing this big what Kennedy called the monolithic conspiracy that opposes us on all sides. It's the same conspiracy today, but that in certain passages, like where there, Jesus says, and I'm going to go ahead and change the word Jew to Judean from this passage, and it'll make a lot of sense. He said, I know the blasphemy of those who call themselves Judeans, but are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Now that makes sense, because a Judean is a nationality, and so it'd be like if I said to you, beware these people that call themselves Americans, but are not, but are the Israel and the Jewish lobby, is basically what I think that he was saying in that passage.
Well, you know what, Trevor, I need to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Trevor Lavuante on The People Speak, and our awesome sound engineer, Donna Newsom.
Got questions? The library's got answers, and books and magazines and CDs and videos and web access and databases and all sorts of other resources at your library. In a world that's information rich, libraries are information smart. Find the right answer and a whole lot more at your library.
With over 150 million registered users, Pal Talk is the largest video chat community in the world, with over 300 Pal Talk support staff speaking dozens of languages to help you enjoy your online experience. Meet new people across town or country or continent while chatting about your interests. Sing live karaoke, listen to music, join a lively political debate, or play group trivia in one of thousands of chat rooms in various categories from your PC, mobile, or tablet device. Joining Pal Talk is free and easy. Go to paltalk.com and become part of our friendly community today.
In America, most of us have the basics we need to survive. But there are millions of children all over the world who don't. Children who must work instead of going to school. Children who were forced to fight as child soldiers. Children who can't have an ordinary childhood because they lack health care, clean water, or good nutrition. For these children, there is UNICEF. UNICEF works in 157 countries and territories, providing children with what they need to survive and grow. To learn more, visit unicefusa.org or call 1-800-4-UNICEF.
Hello, this is Wesley Snipes. And when I'm divinely inspired and spiritually motivated, I listen to BBSRadio.com.
In a world of abundance, hunger is a crime. When a malnourished child dies, we're all guilty. Yet it happens every 5 seconds. Let's do the right thing. Put hunger away for good. Please, give to the World Food Program.
This land is yours.
Join us on The People Speak for an hour of live interviews and audience interaction as guests of various organizations share their work and strategies which impact our world and make a difference. That's The People Speak every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the BBS Radio Network.
This land was made for you and me.
Welcome back. This is Brock Cash coming back at you with our guest, Trevor Levante, and our awesome sound engineer, Don Newsom. Trevor, we left off talking about this lady that came on and intentionally tried to discredit you by saying, oh, you're against all Jews, you're against this, you're against that. The fact of the matter is, people like you are not against Jews or Judaism or anything of the sort. You're against the injustices.
Yeah, I'm not against the existence of a mindset called the Jewish mindset or Judaism. I'm against them doing the things that are written in those books. And you know, from my studies, it actually does take you into the heart of Jewish identity and Judaism and Jewish exceptionalism, Jewish supremacism, and reading in their books and stuff. So I want to be clear that, you know, Judaism, and this is, and by the way, I'm strongly pro-Christian, pro-Islam, whatever people want to believe. The thing that I have a problem with is these things that are written in the books of Judaism, which declare that the Jews are the only human beings, the Gentiles are animals. So you know, and that they expound on this for thousands of pages in their writings. I mean, the possibilities are limitless once you throw morality and human brotherhood, that concept, once you throw that out the window and designate these other people, this other group of people, as enemies, which is
absolutely. It's all a divide and conquer ploy. They want the Christians and the Muslims and the Buddhists and everybody else to fight each other as they reap the profits from it and basically laugh at us. Let's talk about the conditioning of American Christianity, whether it's from these online ministries or the churches, these ministers that are strategically put in place to give false prophecies as far as, you know, Israel and everything else, just as a tactic being used by, you know, the Khazars to make their ploy so they can steal land. And I never understood this. If you have 10 commandments, if you have 10 commandments from God, how you can disobeyed any of them, okay. you disobey okay. any of all of them, and you're still yeah. incompetent with God, and God gave you the land. I don't understand well, that.
You brought up a number of interesting topics. I'd like to address them. So first and foremost, the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament are intended only for other Hebrews, other Jews, other members of the tribe, let's say, because if you read the rest of the book, it actually commands them to go into the surrounding lands and capture them slaughter everything that breathes and burn graven images and cut down their orchards and all, you know, exactly what's going on right now in Palestine and the surrounding areas. It reads exactly like something out of the Old Testament. So for someone to think that the God of the Old Testament was telling these people not to kill is ridiculous, because, you know, the rest of the book is commanding them to kill everything in sight, and that they're the chosen people, and that everything in this world belongs to them. And so that's my explanation of the Ten Commandments. And I forgot what was the thing you were talking about right before that?
We were talking about the conditioning of American Christianity through televangelists.
Thank you so much. I'm sorry. I forgot. I get kind of scattered. This is an important aspect that needs to be understood. What's called Christian Zionism was published, promoted by the Rothschilds. They even started their own publishing company in the United States to publish this Scofield Reference Bible, and there's another figure, Darby is his name. And they basically took Christianity, the real purpose of it, and instead of worshiping God, it turned it into worshiping the Jews, doing everything that they say, based on one line where it says, "He who curses the Jews is cursed," or I forget exactly what it is.
But, right, right. Bless so Israel. Bless Israel, and you will be blessed.
Thank you.
Yeah, right, that's the fallacy that continues to go on in the minds of American Christians, thinking that they are going to be blessed by following the roots of Satan.
Yeah, it's quite a little switcheroo that they've pulled. But yeah, so in these Bibles, they have Zionist friendly footnotes and things in there, and different interpretations of the Book of Daniel, what it means, and basically they are just brainwashing everyone to go along with Zionism, and never. It's amazing that people can't capture this basic truth about Jesus. Like, who was it that tried him for heresy, nailed him to a cross, and created all this this stuff? They don't even get the basics. If you only know one thing about Jesus, it should be that he opposed evil and corruption, and it brought him, and he got killed by the Sanhedrin.
I have a question from Susan in Georgia, and she wants to know what specific comment got you in trouble with these people.
Well, that's a good question, too. I was kind of touching on it earlier. When I started to disbelieve that Hitler was this evil, maniacal dictator that wanted to take over the world and exterminate everybody that wasn't blonde-haired and blue-eyed and just cartoonish atrocity propaganda that they created, that's when I stopped being ignored and I started to be really attacked. Like, there's this huge taboo about not believing in the Jewish propaganda about Adolf Hitler. So it was really I found it really interesting, and it kind of led me to conclude that that's somehow a really important part of our movement, is understanding what happened in Germany. And to this day, I see a lot of people, I'm so used to it, where they go around, they use terms like Zio-Nazi to describe the Israelis. And what the Israelis resemble is not what the Germans were actually doing. What they resemble is the Jewish propaganda about the Germans. And what they resemble even more closely is the red communist Bolsheviks. They're actually the same people that, once they were done having Europe burnt from end to end and railroading it into this horrific war. They went to Israel. And it's so for people to call them Nazis kind of offends me, but I've learned to get over it because people's interpretation of Hitler, it's so ingrained in us, and like these thousands of Hollywood movies that everyone watches, and every history book and every classroom everywhere has never told the German side of the story. They only tell this like ridiculous propaganda version, which comes straight out of the sham Nuremberg show trials. So, I found it interesting myself that they can't tolerate any Hitler truth.
Well, see, it's always good to point the finger in the other direction. That's how you best deceive. If you look at old movies and you see the cops chasing after a robber, and the robber stops and he just starts pointing the fingers, and the cops start running in that direction. Well, it's a good ploy, and it's a good ploy of deception. And it works very well. Just like the guy in New York City that looks up and has the whole entire street looking up at nothing.
That's exactly what they do. And it's funny because they accuse people that are exposing them of doing the things that they are doing. So once you see through it, though, I mean, there's no going back.
Exactly. They cast out at you what they are.
Right.
And I've always said that. They cast out at you what they are. So when they are calling you an anti-Semite, they are calling you a Nazi. They are calling you a piece of garbage. They are telling you everything that they are when they are doing these things.
Right.
Any decent person does not have to attack anybody to get a point across. Period.
Yeah. Well, this reminded me of what I thought was a funny anecdote as I was becoming Jew-wise and discussing things with Craig Berlin, and I had some questions about the USS Liberty attack on June 8th, 1967, and he came at me with the standard ADL line that it was a case of mistaken identity, and you know, I've like hung out with Phil Turney. He bought me two shots of whiskey, and he told me the story of the USS Liberty, which I had heard many times before.
Right.
But,
we've had some of the survivors on our show. One last question, because we're running short on time. And what I want to ask is, you've done your own research about the Palestinian Jews and the Judeans and the racism and prejudice against the Palestinians in their own homeland.
Yeah. Yeah, what would you like to know about that?
Well, I want to know the prejudice against all other Jews that are not Khazarian or Ashkenazi.
Oh, yeah, that's a very interesting topic as well. The Khazarians are supremacists of their own tribe, and they actually don't view the black Jews from Ethiopia or the Mizrahim or Sephardic Jews as their society is a lot of layers to it, and at the top are the Khazars, so then there's all these various different types of Jews who have diminishing rights there, and then at the bottom, you know, is the Palestinian people, but they're actually supremacist against people that are arguably more Jewish, or you know, whose families have been Jewish for far longer than the Khazars have. So you can expose them as, you know, if you wanted, as being anti-Jewish. I mean, they commit horrible atrocities, especially against the black Jews, which are thousands and thousands of them are given forced sterilizations, and they are deported. And you can just Google and watch videos of big rallies where different people from the Israeli government are leading leading people in chants, you know, against all these groups, and they're totally anti-black, and they're just like absurdly racist, like completely off the charts.
Yeah, I'm sorry to say, Trevor, we're running out of time, but I do want to invite you back. Please keep me informed when Gilad Atzmon is in town so we can have you both on at the same time.
Okay.
We have an Israeli point of view, and we have your point of view, and let's debunk the lies. And once again, it's a pleasure having you, Trevor. Trevor, and we will bring you back in a short time. But please let us know when Atzmon is in town, Gilad is in town, yeah. And we'll go from there. Don't forget to join us next week. We've got Dr. Helen Caldicott on the Fukushima situation. We'll be back next week. This is Rock Cash with Don Newsom, the awesome engineer, signing off for this week on The People Speak. Have a good week.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the steeple by the relief office, I saw my people, and they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.